comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's a place where you actually matter. I'll tell you, there are big, momentous things happening, folks. We're going to be talking about some of those things here tonight. My guest tonight is Jose Escamilla. And he is my guest for a couple of reasons tonight. As you know, he has just released a fabulous film called Luna, and you can watch it online. He is also working now on an IMAX production called The Planet Moon. But Jose and I, along with a great many others, but Jose and I have been targeted by one of Barack Obama's czars. A czar, of course, is a para-government sidestep, not in the Constitution. But one of Barack Obama's czars has targeted myself, has targeted Jose Escamilla, and by name has targeted Sean Hannity, and there are just a host of others. We're going to talk about that tonight. I just got off of the phone with Jose. He was not aware of all of this, but he is now, and you will be by the end of tonight's show. In whatever is left of a constitution, in whatever is left of, and it's in shreds, but whatever is left of a constitutional republic, which we have long ago deserted, there are some things that must be, there are some things that must never be, and we've got this cake upside down. One thing I can tell you is that after 10 years of doing this, these guys ought to know by now I'm not going away. I can be shut up. I can be eliminated. I can be neutralized. But you cannot make me be quiet. So long as I have breath, so long as I have a microphone, so long as I have my mind, you cannot make me be quiet. And I refuse to be quiet because of the fact that I love what this country used to be and because I love what it ought to be. Now, everything I'm going to talk about tonight has to do with our genre. Specifically has to do with the genre, and it specifically has to do with Jose Escamilla and with his movies. It has to do with everything this show is about. This is not a political show, and we are not going to get into politics. Czars have no place in American politics. They're unconstitutional. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I stated, my guest is Jose Escamilla. He is a world-renowned filmmaker. He has been my guest before. He has also been with us in our members area in a video chat. Jose, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Kevin, it's great being here with you again, my friend. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you too, sir. Jose, I want us to talk about Luna. I want us to talk about your new film that you're making for IMAX. But before we get to that, I want us to talk about being targeted, not by the legitimately elected government of the United States of America, but by the para-government, the shadow government, the unconstitutional government of appointed czars. And
I'm reading this right now. A guy named Sunstein.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sunstein, he is Barack Obama's regulatory czar. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cass Sunstein has been doing some writing. And some of what he has written has gotten out into the public domain so that we know what he's up to. He has written a 30-page paper, and in this 30-page paper, he proposes the dissolution of all kinds of constitutional rights. This paper is called What Can Government Do About Conspiracy Theories? And he proposes a government ban on conspiracy theorizing, in other words, rewriting or at least reapplying the First Amendment. And the way you reapply it, you don't rewrite it, you just ignore it. And you create laws that are unconstitutional. You put people in jail over those laws. And then it's up to them to fight it through to the Supreme Court to get free. Now, that is blatantly Stalin-esque. But I'm sorry?
No, he is totally, you know, trying to end free speech, basically.
Yeah. He proposes infiltrating online groups, too. So if you have a MySpace page, he proposes that government agents be assigned to get onto your MySpace page and spread disinformation, and even to, you know, create all kinds of doubts about your credibility. He proposes taxing conspiracy theorists heavily to make it where they're taxed out of existence, and he proposes what he calls a First Amendment New Deal, where he says the government has a right to regulate what is broadcast, just in the same way that they had a right to enforce segregation laws. Now, here are some of the conspiracy theories that he specifically names as things that should be targeted. The conspiracy theory that global warming is a deliberate fraud. Mr. Sunstein.
That's a fact.
It is a scientific fact. The fraud, my friend, is those who say there is global warming, and we now have the documentation of that in their own words.
Yeah, that's not even a theory. That's just scientific fact.
The view that the Central Intelligence Agency was responsible for the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Sunstein, listen, grow up. You're supposed to be a lawyer. Now, look, that's already been to court. There's already been a civil case on this. I suggest, Mr. Sunstein, that you read a book called Plausible Denial. It's written by the lawyer who was supposed to be Lee Harvey Oswald's lawyer. He defended a newspaper in court over their allegations that they named some CIA agents that were present, and they got sued by one of those agents. It's been to court. It's already been decided by a jury. The CIA lost. 1996 crash of TWA Flight 800 was caused by a U.S. military missile. Well, I don't know that anybody's proved that, but there are people that think that happened, and what he's proposing is that you do not have a right to say what you think. Another conspiracy theory that he names is that the Trilateral Commission is responsible for important movements of the international economy. Again, Sunstein, grow up. What planet do you live on? They admit they are. Here's one. The Martin Luther King Jr. was killed by federal agents. Again, I don't know that anybody's proven that, but there are people that think that, and if that's what they think, they have a right to say so.
Yeah.
Now this one is the one where I said it targets you, Jose Escamilla. The moon landing was staged and never really occurred. Now you call it into question. You don't come out and say they staged it, but you do question it.
No, I've never said that they never landed. I just said that they faked a lot of the footage, and that's whether they landed the Apollo missions landed or not. That's another story. I'm not even touching that.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm presenting is the conspiracy investigation that I've done. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm an investigator.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And I have people out there that bring on, actual documentation and photography and everything else. Whether we went to the moon as when they said that we went, that's another story.
But you see,
you.
You're calling into question the status quo story about the moon that makes you part of a conspiracy theory.
Well, that's a blanket statement he's making. I mean, I have evidence from NASA themselves that they faked.
Yeah.
So, that's not a conspiracy. That's
yeah.
A fact.
Okay, how about this one? In 2009, in a book, Sunstein cited as a primary example of absurd and hateful remarks, reports by right-wing websites alleging an association between President Obama and weatherman terrorist William Ayers, or Ayers. Well, there is an association that they've both admitted.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, again, Sunstein, grow up. I mean, just because Obama calls you a czar, and just because you probably can make my life miserable, that doesn't mean you have any power, authority, or legal right to do so. Grow up.
Yeah.
This is America.
He's blowing it out. This is all wind.
Well, here's some more wind. He singles out Sean Hannity for attacking Obama regarding the president's alleged associations. There are people in the Obama staff that, at least according to reports on television, not right-wing websites, but reports on television, are card-carrying members of Socialist International, which is the World Communist Party. Okay, now, he wants us to shut up, and he's willing to use the government to make us shut up, and I have a few things that I would like to point out. First, I want people to know that he says that a conspiracy theory is an effort to explain some event or practice by reference to the machinations of powerful people who have also managed to conceal their role. So in other words, if you speak out, Jose, or make a film in which you say anything about powerful people, then you are a conspiracy theorist. Now, that means that your film, Moon Rising, puts you in this camp because you told the truth about the Nazi relationship with NASA. And, according to him, we can't talk about powerful people. Well,
yeah.
How about Lyndon Johnson, who lied to the American people, to the UN, and to the world, lied about the Tet Offensive, or the Bay of Tonkin attack. He lied about that. and put us into Vietnam up to our eyes. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. It's a historical fact. But he's a powerful man who got away with it.
There's at least 33 conspiracy theories that became true, actually.
Yeah.
So this guy's talking out of left field.
Well, there's a couple of other things I want to say to Mr. Sunstein. It is Cass Sunstein who is conspiring against the Constitution and against freedom. It's Cass Sunstein, Barack Obama's regulatory czar. You are paying this jerk $150,000 or so per year, somewhere in that neighborhood, per year. Taxpayer money. You're paying him to attack your freedom of speech. Now, there is something else I'd like to say. Since he has published these proposals, he is a published enemy of the Constitution and a published enemy of freedom. Should not Mr. Cass Sunstein be arrested by those who took the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? This guy, working for the president, he doesn't work for you, folks. He works for the president. This guy is an enemy of the Constitution. He is an enemy of freedom. He hates me. He hates Jose. He hates anyone who expresses truth that he finds to be inconvenient. Inconvenient truths are truths that don't match the lies and fraud that he and his ilk are putting out. Now, that's what he would call a hateful remark, and he wants me off the air, and he wants Jose out of business, and he wants Sean Hannity off the air. And you're paying this guy. You didn't vote for him. You didn't say you wanted him to be hired. You just got your money hijacked, and you're paying for this enemy of the Constitution. He is a czar. Now, you know, they had a revolution over in Russia where they got rid of czars. They replaced them with Stalinists. Is that what comes next after the czars have done their business? If you let this guy and the rest of the... How many czars does Obama have? He's got about 150 czars. I don't know. That's an exaggeration. And I know it's an exaggeration, but he's got all these czars. Okay? You didn't vote for him. You didn't elect them. And yet they've got all this power and getting all this money.
Yeah.
Now, after the czars have done their wreck of the Constitution, folks, what do we get next? Stalin? End of my rant. Jose, what do you think about being targeted by this jackass?
This jackass needs to be tarred and feathered.
I think he needs to be put in jail.
Yeah, he and I'm looking at his photograph, and he's a regular snapper head. Just a guy that, you know, the kind of guy that we used to give pink belly to in gym class. Right?
That's the problem, you see. That
jerk that just has no clue, man. And you know what? He'll get what he deserves, you know. He's just, he's an enemy of the Constitution of the United States. He's a treasonous bastard. Pardon my French.
I'll tell you. You, me, every talk show that brings up anything that's a little bit out on the edge, that examines and questions anything that the lamestream media puts out, we are the targets. We are the targets. And, folks, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how else to tell you. But, you know, as long as you keep putting the same people back in Congress and back in the White House, you know, you keep putting the same two discredited, treasonous parties back in, you're going to keep getting these enemies of the Constitution. That's all I got to say about it. All right. Luna.
Boy, that kind of just put the hairs in the back of my neck like a... like a rooster. I'm ready. This is too much, man. I can't believe the snapper head, man. I can't believe he's trying to infiltrate conspiracy theorists, you know?
Well, that means your website, Well, now, folks, you know, I get email from people all the time saying, oh, I really don't think it's any government bad guys that are attacking your show. I mean, this is right out in the news now. This guy's paper is out. He says, let's go attack these guys. Let's infiltrate their websites. Let's infiltrate their organizations. And let's spread disinformation. He's put it in paper. He's put it in writing. And you know, if you can't believe that, folks, I don't know who you're going to believe.
Oh, I challenge a snapper head to a celebrity boxing match. Come on. I win. Shut up and go home.
All right, let's talk about... Let's talk about one of the things that will make him most uneasy, and that is Luna and the moon.
The planet moon.
The planet moon. Folks, I'm going to, for those of you that are watching our TV channel, I'm going to show you something. I am going to show you, if I can press the right button here, I'm going to show you a little bit of contrast here. I'm going to show you what we normally see when we see a picture of the moon. We see a black and white gray moon. But that is not the real color of the moon. That's not what it looks like. A real color photograph of the moon has blues and greens and reds and oranges, along with whites and silvers and lots of other colors. Now, why is it that we see, and we're going to have to step away for a break here in just a minute, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to get Jose to answer this question. Why is it that when you look up into the sky at night, what you see is you see that black, silver, gray-colored moon, and you don't see all those colors? Why is that? And even if you look with a telescope, you don't see all those colors. Why is that? Well, the reason is pretty mundane. The reason is pretty simple. And Jose is going to share that reason with us whenever we come back from this break that's coming up, during which I'll put a cold towel on my head and cool down a little bit. Maybe. Probably not much. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I applied a cold compress to my head, and I'm still as angry as I was when this show started. This government is hijacked by czars. Okay, Jose, let's talk about the moon. Let's talk about Luna. Let's talk about the planet moon. And what you have coming up.
Okay, well...
Yeah, go ahead.
I just emailed you links that you can give your listeners and viewing audience to all that's involved about the moon. You know, Kevin, when I started researching the moon back in 2006, I believe it was, when I was doing... It was 2001, actually, when I started doing the original film, UFO, The Greatest Story of a Denial, but it wasn't until 2006... that I really started looking at, man, the moon has some anomalies to it. And that's at the time that I decided to make a film about the moon alone. And I think that was about the time that you and I connected, maybe 2007, where I made the announcement that the next film I was going to do was entirely about the moon. Well, one of the biggest things was, okay, at that time, I was just like everyone else. I was sold on the spoon-fed information that the moon is black and white, you know? It wasn't until this last year, January, that I discovered that there are full-color photographs available for anyone to go on the USGS NASA website and download yourselves. And this was right before the movie premiere. You know, when you saw the first rough cut of Moon Rising at the premiere, which I'm glad you were there, it had only been a couple of weeks before that I had discovered that there is color photography of the moon taken by the Clementine mission. So a lot of controversy evolved. You know, after I finally did the last release of Moon Rising in March, people kept saying, okay, you're saying that the moon is full color, but why does it look black and white from Earth? Okay? And I even asked myself that. I go, okay, this is a kind of a weird question. I mean, we need to figure this out. What's going on? You know, you would think, hey, if the moon is black and white from here, then it must be black and white in space. Well, total different story applies. And I have on my YouTube channel and on TBLN Films why the moon looks gray from Earth. And it's very interesting, Kevin, because our atmosphere distorts all the color spectrums so much that the moon looks black and white, when in fact, in the vacuum of space, the moon is full color. And so that began, you know, a big research part on me, because I needed to find out, what about Mars? What about Saturn? What about Jupiter? Well, it's all there. I just sent you the link so that you can maybe upload them and put them on your website during the next break.
Okay, I'll as soon as the show is over tonight, I'll add those links to the main page of my website. And okay. Then they'll be right under Jose's picture, folks.
Okay.
And they'll be up there until tomorrow night. This is Friday, so they'll be up there all weekend unless Cass Sunstein infiltrates my website.
Well, you know, that guy, I'm still flustered about this guy. Just after reading, you know, what his thing is, I go, man, I want to meet this guy face to face. Like, that's it. Boxing match time. Let's go now. You and me. Uno a uno, cabrón.
Well, I think face-to-face confrontation, and I don't mean fighting, but just face-to-face confrontation is something these people don't want. Because you've seen what happens in town hall meetings when these senators and congressmen go do a town hall meeting and people stand up and ask questions that these senators and congressmen don't want to have to answer. You know, and they're elected. Now, these shadow government czars, they're not elected. They answer to absolutely no one except Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, well, you know, Mr. Hussein Obama, you know, Mr. Hussein Osama bin Laden or Obama, whatever.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Okay, all right. But he's in question, too. He's not a legitimate president. You
know. Well, yeah, I don't want to get into that because, you know, what I want to stick with is what actually impacts you, me, and the genre, the show itself. As an American, the other stuff does concern me. But as far as the show goes, it's, you know, this guy has put it in writing. And so now for all you folks who have always thought that I am just paranoid because I talk about, you know, that we are targeted. You know, what do you say to that, folks? I mean, he's put it in writing and he's saying that's what we've got to do. We've got to target these guys. And well, anyway, Moon Rising, Luna, and the planet Moon are far more important. Let's get the information out while we're still free to do so.
Yeah, while we have freedom of speech, we might as well do as much as we can. Right now, I've released my film last December 8th, and I believe you've seen it.
I have indeed.
Luna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's available on pay-per-view. I haven't released it for free yet because that, you know, people have to understand these films cost money to make, and they don't cost anyone else but me money to make. And I need to recoup some investments. I mean, right now, I am so tight as far as funds are concerned, people don't realize I still have to pay bills just like everyone else, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And these films are made for people to realize, look, there's a lot more to the moon than what we've been told, you know? And I'm not making theories about it. This is NASA footage. You know, this is on the USGS website, available to anybody. You know, I don't make stuff up. All I do is I put it into a concise, easily to understand program where you can be taken through the basics and presented, look, here's the way you look at this kind of footage. Here's another way to look at it, different perspectives. And that's all I've done with Luna. I decided to eliminate a lot of the talking heads. I was going to have John Lear in it. I was going to have Hoagland, if I could get him in there, and Mike Barron, and a bunch of, you know, the usual suspects in the moon anomaly sense. But Luna is about the moon. It's about the full color photography of the moon and the anomalies that exist there. And it's amazing what you can see once you know how to look at the moon, which NASA never told us. All the 45 years that I've known about all the Apollo footage and the Apollo photos, NASA never told us, hey, look at it in perspective. They made us all think that we're looking at the moon from straight up ahead, you know, above. That's not the case. You know, when you start looking at the full color photography, especially in the perspectives that you're supposed to look at the moon, you suddenly start seeing the alien structures that exist there. And the depth of perception is incredible, as you've witnessed yourself, Kevin. So,
well, and I'll tell you, Jose, the two trailers that you have, you put them up on YouTube for Luna. I've shown both of those while you and I were talking here, and I'll show them again during the show. I'll put them up again. Folks, you got to see the whole movie. But even in these trailers, you can see some really interesting anomalous structures. And even in this trailer, you see some kind of animal jumps off of the lunar lander and bounds down the steps, down the ladder. What's with that, Jose?
I call that the moon monkey.
The moon monkey.
the reason being is that this was the Apollo 14 mission. Edgar Mitchell was already in the craft. They had already closed the airtight, hatch. You know, you have to understand, you can't roll down the window and toss something out afterwards. Once you're inside the capsule and you're hermetically sealed and the hatch is totally closed off, you cannot roll the window down and toss something out.
Right. So
after he's already in the ship, and they're ready to take off in about 20 minutes, so they take off from the moon and join the shuttle and everything else. During that time, there's something that jumps off the bottom of the lens. And it's probably about 3.5 feet tall. It has the characteristics of an anthropod, okay, or a primate. And I had an anthropologist look at that footage, and she's from New Mexico, and she says, that definitely looks like a primate from the characteristics, just from what we were able to see. I mean, the footage is blurry, 16-millimeter footage on the moon itself,
mm-hmm.
and it resembles some kind of a monkey or something that jumps out and just goes down the ladder and everything else. And the curious thing about it, this is on a disc about the Apollo 14 mission, disc number 5, about 10 minutes in. You can see it yourself right there. The curious thing is, there's only two ways about it. Either there is a primate-looking kind of creature on the moon that exists there, or there was some kind of a creature, primate or a cat or something, whatever it might have been, that jumped off the fake limb in the studio. There's only two ways to go about it, Kevin.
Now, you and I talked about this, I think it was when we did our video chat in the members area.
Yes.
But see, I think that video shows that moon landing was real. And here's why. If that was filmed in the studio, they never would have allowed that out.
I know.
They would have. In fact, they would have. Someone would have yelled "cut," and they would have reshot the scene.
Yeah, they would have said, "Edgar, you got to keep your cat at home."
That's it. Yeah.
You know.
But they had no control over it. It happened. And, you know, and I mean, I think the fact that, that you see this is an indication that that's not on a stage. That is real moon footage, and there's real life on the moon.
Yeah, and it was a live transmission that was unedited because I timed it. I was looking for, okay, let me see. It starts here on reel 5. You go click, and it shows Mitchell. I believe it was Schmidt. I can't remember the other astronaut. I know it's Edgar Mitchell. And he comes up towards the camera that's filming this because he had knocked it down. He had tripped on the cord. So he comes back and puts the camera back up and gets a different angle. But it's basically, you know, shooting sequence. He goes back to where they're loading up stuff, and the other astronaut gets on inside the capsule, and he sends down a tether of some kind. And now Edgar is down here, and he's, they're just putting stuff up inside the capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Edgar Mitchell climbs up the ladder. It takes him about 8 or 10 minutes just to climb up the ladder. Then you hear him talking, okay, we're inside. Man, it's crowded in here. He says, man, I've got some more. You ready for some more rocks? He says, let's pull it in here. And slam, he shuts the door. He says, okay, we've released the tanks or something of that nature. I guess the empty tank or something. But this is not a tank. This is something that jumps off afterward. He says that. So then they're inside the capsule, and they're talking. You know, there's jargon and stuff. Some of it is indecipherable. And then you see this thing jump off. Okay, and this is all nonstop footage. It lasts about a half hour.
We have to go to break. We'll pick up there when we come back. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, maybe. Made it through the break. Nobody shut us down yet. I expect they will before the show is over. Jose, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Well, he made it through the show too, or through the break too. All right. You show us things in Luna without comment. It's just there. And, you know, when people see what they see, for instance, when we see that animal jump off of the lunar module as it's preparing to take off, we see that. Okay.
It's unmistakable.
The fact, as I say, the fact that it's there indicates to me that this was not on a stage. Because you know what would happen. A director would have shouted cut, and...
Yeah, we wouldn't be seeing this footage at all.
Yeah, this is live footage, and so that would indicate a couple of things. One, that there is an atmosphere. Two, there's food. Three, there's water.
Right.
Now, we know from the Chandrayaan spacecraft that India sent up, which mysteriously vanished, they confirmed that the moon does have an atmosphere. They say it's very thin, but it's there. They confirmed that it has a magnetosphere, meaning that you do have some protection from the radiation coming from the sun. So you have some protection. They confirmed that there's water. And then their spacecraft disappeared, and just as NASA was about to do their mission where they went, oh, wow, Eureka, we found water, after the Chandrayaan spacecraft already confirmed it.
Yes.
But so there's water, there's atmosphere, there's a magnetosphere. What we don't know is food. Now, you've done lots of You have looked at a whole bunch of these photographs from the moon. Did you see anything at all that indicated to you vegetation?
Yes. And, you know, here's the thing. I just downloaded some software today. Because, you know, I'm working on this Planet Moon project, which is a feature for IMAX theaters.
Yeah.
And I found a software that allows me to make a 3D, and I'm not talking with glasses, I'm talking about a 3D topography map of the moon's surface, that when you see a tower, for example, it becomes a tower, okay, with the software.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just from photography, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to tweak the photography a little bit, bring up the contrast according to this program, but man, when you see the finished topography, and then you tilt it, you can actually see towers sticking up
mm-hmm.
off the topography of the surface of the moon. You can see domes. You can actually see that there is depth to the photographs. And it's an amazing new program, and I've already started messing with it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, when I finish learning this program, the learning curve is kind of steep. But I guarantee you, when I finish making a lot of these topography mappings of certain photos of the moon in full color, I'm going to send them to you, Kevin. You're going to break it out for the public. I want you to be the first.
Outstanding. And, I'll be very pleased to do so. But you say you have seen evidence in these photographs of vegetation?
Yes. There's vegetation. There is water. I've got clouds hovering above the moon's surface. It's undistinguishable. There's smoke. I mean, when you look at some of the topography stuff, some of the moon's surface photography, you can actually see smoke from possibly mining ventures or something that's going on, but you
mm-hmm.
can see smoke trails. And when you compare it with aerial views from Earth, where they're doing mining and burning and stuff like that, the smoke trail looks very similar, if not almost exact, you know? But when you look at the moon's surface, it's a total different atmospheric configuration. So it's a thinner atmosphere, but scientists at MIT have already said, look, there is an atmosphere up there. It's very, very thin, but there is an atmosphere. So, and NASA's, you know, starting to come out, testing out, yeah, there is somewhat of a thin atmosphere, but nothing that would sustain water, that kind of stuff. I mean, they're going through whatever games they're playing, but bottom line is they've known there's an atmosphere there. They've known there's water vapor. They've known there's clouds,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay, and this brings us back to the discussion that the rant that I had at the beginning of the show. You and I and a few others have been saying for a long time, look, we're not anti-NASA, but NASA needs to start telling the truth. Now, that suggests that when we say they need to tell the truth, that's suggestive of they're lying.
I know.
And under Sunstein's regulations, that qualifies us to be shut down. And the fact is, you, me, and others, and many of those others are scientists, and many of them are associated with other space agencies. But what we have been doing by suggesting that NASA is not telling the truth and by showing the evidence has forced NASA into telling more of the truth. That proves that what we said was not a conspiracy theory. It was the fact. It was the truth. But we would be shut down. In fact, we probably will be shut down.
Well, no, I'm going to fight it. You know, I've had every skeptic in the world, man. I've had William Shermer or Michael Shermer. I've had Philip Klass, God rest his evil soul. Joe Nickel. I've had all these snapper heads try to debunk me. They could not do it. And they never will, because I got the goods on it all. And the thing is this guy's coming out of left field, and all right, if he's going to try to shut me down, I've never thought about, all right, taking the government to court. But you know what? If this guy pulls any crap on us, man, I'm going to definitely, if I have to spend all the pennies that I have to bring up my penny jars that I've got filled here, I'm going to hire me an attorney. We're going to take it to court. Let's go. Bring it on, man. You know?
Well, I think there's an attempt. See, here's the thing. Folks, you have to realize these things he wrote about what to do to us came out in 2008. And I told you right here on this show, and I had Mel Fabregas on with me, and he talked about how his show has been attacked. And I told you that under this administration, things have gotten far worse for us. Well, this stuff that he wrote came out in 2008. That was 2 years ago. And so much of what he wrote may already be in place, I suspect it is, where there are people who have already infiltrated the various organizations and websites that qualify under what he's written, and certainly my website would qualify. Anyone who's willing to ask a question and not toe the mark as lamestream media does is targeted. And so this stuff's already in place, and you know, it's already happening. But I think that what you're doing with getting these photographs out as a movie, getting them out there where people can see what NASA has never shown us, I think it is really an important project. And it's an expensive project. IMAX is, you shoot IMAX in what, 72 millimeter?
It's called 65 millimeter, 15 perf, which means it, when you look at film, 35 millimeter film usually has about 3 or 4 perforations per frame. That means...
Hate to do it. We'll have to get that explanation when we come back from break, because the music has taken over. So remind me when we come back, Jose. All right, folks. We'll be back.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back for now. And Jose, you were explaining to us about the film used for IMAX.
Yes, there are different perforations, which are called film sprockets.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, when a person sees a piece of film, you see that there are holes on either the left side or both sides of the film. 8mm film, you know, 16mm, 35, 70mm. The standard perforation per frame is usually about, I would guess, about 4 perforations, you know, per frame. That means you have 4 sprockets,
mm-hmm.
okay, on a 70mm film, widescreen. 8mm usually have 2 or 3. I can't recall what the ratios are, but forgive me for that. But IMAX film is 65mm in size, which is about 3 times the size of 70mm, and there are 15 sprockets or perforations per frame. That means it's a huge piece of film. And unlike regular 35mm or 70mm film on a projector, it does not project from the reel that's on top and the reel that's on the bottom and then goes through the chamber and the lens and all that kind of thing for the projector. IMAX film runs horizontally, left to right, okay, instead of vertical. So you have film that is going from a reel that's located on the left, emptied into a reel that's on the right, so it goes sideways from left to right. but it's at 15 perfs, and that means it's a huge piece of film.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about IMAX, that means it's the eye maximum. In other words, it's the registration of a projection of a one frame of film, as an example, that will fill the eye peripheral from the right side of your head to the left side of your head, that vision that you see,
mm-hmm.
eye peripheral, is the maximum, the eye maximum, IMAX. So if I was to show you a slideshow in 65 millimeter, 15 perf, on a giant screen, which IMAX is, I believe, four stories high, you know, and I showed you one frame of the moon footage that I have, you're going to see it at eye maximum as if you were there.
Well, I would imagine this is, I would imagine that this is very expensive to do.
It used to be. The IMAX film that I've already finished, my movie, The Planet Moon, is already in the can. The reason I'm raising money right now to finish it is because I have a A-list actor, his name is Wes Studi, who's a full-blooded Cherokee Native American, but he's a major star. He's appeared in major movies, The Last of the Mohicans, he was in Dances with Wolves, he played Geronimo, he was in Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, and lately he was in Avatar. He played the chief of the natives that lived in Pandora. And he's a major, major superstar. Wes Studi is an old friend of mine. We go way back. I met him back in 1993. And he's agreed to star and narrate my movie, The Planet Moon, which opens with a Native American theme. Okay, the film basically talks about how ancient civilizations and our Native American kinfolk have always worshipped. And I'm not saying worship the moon in any derogatory, occultist type sense. I'm talking about they've done ceremony to comply with the balance between Mother Earth and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And basically, he's agreed to star in the film, and the planet moon is going to rock everybody's boat, including Suskeen, whatever his name is.
Sustain.
It's going to be a really good film, and it takes you, imagine going to a theater in 3D, you're going to see the moon as never before. I'm doing what NASA was paid by us billions of dollars to do in the first place, hundreds of billions since the first moon missions, and all they've shown us is black and white tomfoolery, as you can call it, man. All right, I'm taking you to the moon the way it should have been done. I'm doing it the way I felt should have been done. And it's incredible. When you see what is there in full color, you have all the perspectives that you need in order to see that there's something there. Someone existed there, perhaps in ancient times, or somebody still lives there. But you're going to see the moon in full color in 3D IMAX frame format. And it's just an amazing film that's already in the can. I just need to shoot Wes Studi's segments in 3D in New Mexico. And I have Golden Eagle, who is the chief of the Lakota tribe of the Star Knowledge faction that is going to, I hate to say faction, the Star Knowledge Lakota tribe chiefs that are bringing together, you know, the evidence of extraterrestrial and earthly contact and visitations. But I'm doing the IMAX feature, eliminating the fringe aspect. And this is one of the things that I have to do. In order to make the Planet Moon IMAX feature, I have to eliminate UFOs and all that kind of stuff. And I have. I'm just doing scientific presentations. NASA, the United States Geological Survey, footage that's mm-hmm. available for anyone to download. That's all I'm doing, just presenting it and making a story around it and presenting it in IMAX format. And
all right, now, but you haven't taken out the structures that are there, have you?
No, everything is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eliminating anything.
When you say you had to take out the fringe stuff, You're talking about in the narration and in the titles, right?
Yes, I had to, and this is playing to the same thing that this Sustine is playing into. I'm not going to create a controversy on the planet Moon. I can't. Otherwise, it will not be shown in museum theaters and everything else. What mm-hmm. I'm doing is I'm not bringing in any kind of extraterrestrial aspect. Okay? Because that's fringe. It's considered fringe. I cannot bring in anything that would suggest UFOs on the moon. I have to be very careful on how I present films in order to be picked up by IMAX theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is I'm just presenting a full-color view, full-color photography. And I'm not alluding to anything, Kevin. It's cool.
Yeah. So everything is still there. It's just that you don't mention any of the fringe stuff.
Well, imagine this. You've seen Luna.
Mm-hmm.
There are some sequences in there that I don't have to say a word. It's just one photograph that I ran the camera over the terrain. I panned and zoomed and pulled out and moved in close, and with the music track underneath. I didn't have to say a word.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
That's what I'm doing with this film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a word. I'm just presenting the evidence that's there. I don't call it evidence. I'm presenting the full-color photography taken by NASA during the Clementine mission in 1994. I don't make stuff up. This is their own photography. So I'm keeping it within the scientific realm. I'm just showing you full-color photography that NASA did. Okay, so I'm just waiting for IMAX to give me the go-ahead and say, we will distribute your film. And believe me, I have kept it as much far removed from UFOs.
All right. Tell you what I'd like to do, Jose. I want to open up the telephone line because I think there are people in our audience that would like to make a comment or ask a question. Folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, which is working, 888-223-4599. That's toll-free in the USA and Canada. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call me at 1-623-444-5889 or you can send me a flash message by going to my website. Scroll down and you'll see the link. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
How are you guys doing today?
So far, so good.
Good.
You know, why don't you try and get on, take your information and go on Sean Hannity's show. I remember one time I saw a news clip of, it was talking about rods on Fox. And, you know, he might have you on as a guest, you know, bring some pictures of your the moon and expose this stuff right on national TV, you know. I'm tired of them, the national media just completely ignoring this. The subject, you know.
Oh, they believe me, Ryan. They've ignored me. They've ignored me all the way through for the last, I guess, about 6 years. I have contacted even Oberheim, you know, who is a staunch, you know, conspiracy guy that says, "Look, I call it to you. I tell you in your face, your BS, you're all that." Nobody's contacted me. Believe me, I have spent money trying to get a PR campaign to where I get on the big radio shows. Even Alex Jones doesn't talk to me. Alex Jones, who's the biggest conspiracy guy, has not contacted me. I've had people email him. The guy's ignoring me. What's the deal? You know?
Yeah, but you might, because of this knucklehead guy that's trying to, this czar, it might be able to get you on to talk about him because he's trying to stop, he's going after Hannity also, so. Just an idea. Would you give it a try to go on there? I just want to see you get on there because this stuff needs to be shown to the world. You know, it's enough of the media is just not talking about it. But I'll just take it off the air.
Absolutely.
Great show.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Even Larry King. Larry King knows who I am. I mean, James Fox has been on there, all these other people, and James Fox is a friend of mine. Larry King, they always avoid guys like me. I'm the guy that calls it, all right? I call you on it. Here's the deal. Get me on your show. You know, Larry King is avoiding me. Larry, if you're listening to me or your people, get me on the show.
Oh, they are.
Sanity. All of them, man. You know, they avoid me like the plague. Believe me, I've tried.
Well, actually, this is a very good show right here. This is a very good show to appeal to those other shows because they all have people that are listening to this show.
Yes.
And that's I know that to be a case, to be a fact.
What makes a difference, Kevin, is people like Ryan who just called and other people who are listening to the show, send your emails to the Larry King Show. Send them to Hannity. All of these guys, bring me on the show. The more emails and the more waves you make, I will eventually be brought on. Maybe.
Maybe.
They're afraid of me.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where you are calling.
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
And I am on the internet number again.
Good.
But, Jose, I have a suggestion for you.
Yes, sir.
When you get a full 3D model of the moon in high res, is there any possibility you could create it into a virtual world so you could distribute it and let the people explore it themselves?
I do have a thing called the Lunar Explorer Archives, and I want everybody to go right now. Go to theplanetmoon.com. Moon. Theplanetmoon.com. And click on the Lunar Explorer sample. You can go in there and pan and zoom the moon yourself. The full color photography. You can even go, I have a sample that you can download from the USGS yourselves and download it right there on your own PC. It's going to take time to download the full color one because it's in high resolution. But yeah, it's there, you know?
All right.
And I had the opportunity right now of making a serious, serious IMAX film that will be in 3D using this photography that's available to us. Now remember, here's the curious thing about everything. I've only downloaded close to about 800 photographs from the USGS website. These are 800 photographs of 1.8 million digital photos that were taken by the Clementine mission. So I barely tipped, not even the iceberg. I mean, this is just like a minuscule portion. And in some of the photographs, you're going to see that they have deliberately blurred certain areas, eliminating what's there. But they have to release the stuff. I mean, you know, we pay them to do that. But there's 1.8 million digital photographs I'd like to get my hands on. You know, so
That would be a career for the rest of your life. Brent, did you have another comment or question?
I'm looking at a photograph. Sorry.
Oh, okay. 623-444-5889. Or the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. We have a flash message from Australia, from Blue. He says, "Hi, Mr. Kevin Smith and Mr. Jose Escamilla. What's next? Burning the books? Hold on to your seats. It's going to be a rough ride in 2010, don't you think? Wow, great images of the moon." Thanks, Blue. And, you know, some of the most radical books, according to the definitions of the politically correct anti-Americans that are inhabiting D.C. these days, were written by the founding fathers of this country. They are considered radicals these days. So burning the books, well, who knows? Maybe. Maybe. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from North Carolina.
Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Okay, listen, I just wanted to tell you how much Mr. Escamilla, I respect him, and you too, Kevin. This stuff is great. In fact, I'm fixing to buy Luna, and I've also heard and read about this guy that's trying to stop the conspiracy therapy, conspiracy stuff. But I mean, you know, it's just crazy, really. But
it
I
is.
Enjoy your movies.
Well, thank you. And here's what I have to say about this guy trying to stop us. I mean, you know, the reason I even started doing this stuff is because no one else was making movies that would present the kind of stuff that I wanted to see. I always wanted to find out the truth. ABC, Peter Jennings, I saw their TV special back in 2001. And I go, man, that sucks, man. The first part of the film presents everything cool. And then the second part, you got all these skeptics and snapperheads that just totally destroy the first part of the movie. So it left everybody in confusion. So that's why I made UFO the Greatest Story Ever Denied, Part 1. And it was my way of saying, look, this is the nitty-gritty, man. This is what they won't show you. And I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just making a film that I felt should have been made a long time ago. Same with Moon Rising, you know, and Luna. And the planet Moon is, believe me, I mean, I am following certain guidelines because I do not want to not get this film released. I actually want to get this film done. I have a major star who has lent his name to it, Wes Studi, and I do not want to get shunned anymore. I've got to get this information out, so what do I have to do? I'm going to keep it out of the fringe. I'm not talking UFOs, aliens, or nothing. I'm just presenting full color photography. And thank you for calling in, and check out Luna, man. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I know. I got one more thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think Orson Welles would turn over in his grave?
I think Orson Welles would probably join me.
That's
you know,
what
the thing
saying,
about
man.
Orson Welles, yeah, I think he's probably guiding things from the other side, if there is another side, you know. But
well, Tony, I want to thank you for the call. I greatly appreciate it. And it is true.
Thank you.
Tony says, you know, this guy talking about, you know, Cass Sunstein trying to, you know, get infiltrate the conspiracy theorist groups and attack any kind of rumors that are he thinks are not right. Well, you see, every news story begins as a rumor. Every news story begins as a rumor. And then it has to be investigated, and then it has to be reported. And so all rumors are potential news, and they need to be heard, they need to be investigated, and then people can make up their own minds. But the czars and czarinas, I guess we have some czarinas. We got so many czars, we bound to have some czarinas. You see, they're not pro-constitution. The job they have is not even a constitutional position, and so they feel completely comfortable in attacking your constitutional rights to freedom of speech. And it is crazy, but it's not just crazy, it's not just nutty. These people have power. They have power. And they can make things happen, and they answer to absolutely no one that you have elected except Barack Obama. That's the only person they answer to. The Senate can't control them. Congress can't control them. Nobody can control them. No one except Barack Obama. The telephone number, folks, is 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Now, I would suggest that as long as you have the opportunity to use freedom of speech, I would suggest you do it. And, you know, you can sit back on your thumb for the next 30 minutes or 40 minutes and say someone else will call. Someone else will say what I want to say. You can do that until we're no longer around. They shut us down. And then they're going to shut someone else down. And someone else, and someone else. And then your freedom of speech will have vanished. I recommend while you have it, use it. Use it or lose it. At the moment, you're losing it. Right before your eyes, as the clock ticks by, there are people receiving government paychecks working 24 hours a day to take away your constitutional freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
This, you know, the thing about the photography that's in Luna that is so stunning is, and you mentioned it, you show things where you don't even have to say a thing. You don't say anything. You just show it, and it jumps right off the screen at the person viewing. You can, if you're watching Luna, it jumps right out at you. And you see...
Right there.
Yeah. There's one, and after this next break, if I can remember to do so, I'll show the trailer again. But there's one that looks like a statue standing up. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Jose, I cut you off in mid-sentence. Do you want to finish the thought? Well, apparently we've lost Jose.
Hello.
Yeah. I cut you off in mid-sentence because of the break. Was there something you wanted to finish there?
Yes. You know, I was just saying that everything that we've done right now has been straight up. You know, we don't make this stuff up. And anyone that tries to stop it, well, we shall persevere.
Somehow, we will. And, caller, hang on just for one moment. There's one other thing, one other thought, Jose, I wanted to say. You know, Sunstein, obviously, you know, he doesn't fit with those who believe in a constitution and constitutional rights to freedom of speech and freedom of thought. But Ahmadinejad over in Iran could use a guy like him, because they're trying to shut down all the free speech that's opposed to the Ahmadinejad and Ayatollah regime over there. So, Sunstein, there's a future for you in Iran. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering if people looking through those big dome telescope structures can see the moon in color, or if it still appears in black and white.
Good question. What about that, Jose? People at observatories, when they look at it, is it still in black and white because of the atmosphere?
Yeah, you know, the thing is the observatories, and nobody is has access to this. The observatories have a thing called, applied optics, okay? And they're able to see the moon as it really is, but they don't release that information. So there's a lot of astronomers, observatories that are in the mix, because you have to realize they're all funded through the government. So adaptive optics is called, you know. And when they did the bombing of the moon, which wasn't the bombing, allegedly, that's what we were told. It was not a bomb. It was a crashing of a object on the surface of the moon. There was a thing released by I believe it was the Mount Palomar Observatory. And if you type in Mount Palomar Adaptive Optics, you're going to see up close and personal footage of the moon taken by the Palomar Observatory that shows you. They can photograph the moon up close and personal as if you were there, about 30 miles, 40 miles above the surface. So right there, that shows you they've been lying to us.
All right. So, Kevin, you have another question or comment?
That's all.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Thank you.
623-444-5889, toll free, 888-223-4599. If you are outside the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. You can call me, or you can send me a flash message. And the flash message feature is on my website. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com and click where it says flash message. You'll see it. And we have a flash message here from the UK. This is from Will. And he says, I want to say, Kevin, another wonderful show. And to Jose, I wish you the best of luck with getting your film to IMAX. I will go watch it 10 times with all my friends. It's probably the most accessible thing I can do to show my friends and open their eyes a bit to the UFO reality. Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know that if your IMAX film is anything like Luna, and I suspect it is, but more impressive, if that's even possible. But if it's anything like Luna, it's you don't have to say anything, because people can see it jumps right off the screen at you, folks. You can see in these shots from Luna, you can see in fact structures standing up that he doesn't have to say anything. All you have to do is just look, and you see the structure standing right up, like the one that's on the screen now. And
right there.
Yeah, and I would imagine that in IMAX format, it would be even more dramatic.
Oh man, it's going to be so awesome, because the thing with the IMAX format is it gives you the perspective of the human eye.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum. That's why it's called IMAX. It just simply means eye maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And the processing that we're doing with the film, there's a company in Simi Valley, California, called IN3. And the website, if you want to check it out, IN-3, THREE.com. What these guys do, and this is why I love technology, is I could make a 2D film, which is a regular standard movie, you know, in two dimensions, which is flat. I could take it to them, and they'll turn my flat movie into a 3D film that can people can use the standard glasses that they're using currently in theaters. They can turn my 2D film into a 3D IMAX movie.
Wow.
And you will see the stuff. It's really amazing. I love technology where we're at right now. It's caught up to everything. Technology is caught up to UFOs, the moon, anything you can think of. We have the technology at our fingertips right now. All it costs is a little bit of budget. And that's it. You know, I'm excited.
How do you go about financing something like this? It's obviously something the government really doesn't prefer to have out there.
Well, you know, the government gives grants to those companies and individuals that are part of their agenda. Obviously, I'm not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they try to blasphemize me. They've interfered with my mail. Kevin, I've sent out, last year, I sent about 48 DVDs of my Moon Rising film
mm-hmm.
to the Netherlands and Australia. you know, to customers that bought my DVDs. And just so you know, it costs like $12.30 to send a package overseas.
Oh, I know.
Well, guess what? All these customers never got their DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them to contact their customs people, and the customs people said, well, we don't know why, but we've had an alert that this DVD documentary has to be absconded, and we don't know why. We've never done this. This is unprecedented. And then I asked, okay, well, why are you not delivering the DVD to people? They said, we cannot disclose that because it's from the higher-ups. So I go, so what am I to do? You know, I owe these people my DVD. And they said, well, you just got to resend it. So I resent it again to all these people at $12.30 cost. They never got it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost me money again. So when you look at it, the cost that I charged for the DVD to be delivered overseas, it was never delivered. It still hasn't been delivered. So
I've had things like that happen too, and people understandably don't believe you when you tell them.
Yeah.
But you know, but it is going on, people. It is happening.
Real deal.
It's the real deal. All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going, Jose?
Good, Bob. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Very exciting stuff. It was really enjoyable show tonight so far.
Well, good.
It's the real deal, you know. What I like about Kevin Smith, he allows me to just tell it the way it is. So,
what do you think that blue stuff is in that picture?
The what?
Is it like the blue stuff on the moon picture with the color? Is that, you think that's a kind of metal or something?
I don't know what that is. You know, the astounding thing about the whole deal is that it's a color that exists on the surface of the moon, whether it's a structure or whether it's a light shining down from somewhere, some point above the surface of the moon. I have no idea, but it's
interesting. I was going to say, there was a guy that called in, either Hannity or Levin. I can't remember which one of the two it was. And he was saying about Obama or somebody, I think it was Obama, promising that he'd do something for the Space Administration or something earlier in his presidency or running. Did you guys hear anything on that?
I did not.
He's going to give them more billions of dollars.
Yeah, he was going to be doing something like that, and then something was going on with the funds, or there was something. There's some things going on, and so the caller had brought it up to the host, and basically the host said this. Yeah, our next mission, we're going to the sun. And he hung up and said, next call. So I think even with our guys that are trying to help out, you know, for freedom of speech and stuff, they really don't take it too seriously. And I've also heard another host, a very prominent host, I don't want to say who, and when somebody asked him a question about the Space Administration and different things and budgets, he basically said, you know, I don't really like to play into all those nutcases, you know, and so I don't really see any help on our side if the good guys, so to speak, won't even back us up. However, I think it's incredible what you guys are doing, and I just want to put my input on there since I did hear that, driving one night. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Well,
thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Yeah, and that's a good point. He brings up a good point, Jose. You know, there are people who express views that are not my views at all. Okay? I don't agree with them at all. But I have some of those people on this show. I don't show my cards. I just let them present their story and their evidence. And we ask questions, and then the audience can make up their own mind. That's because I believe in freedom of speech. However,
yes,
most talk shows, and this is true, most talk shows have an agenda, and they will not allow people to speak on their talk show that don't fit their agenda. And there's a real problem with that, because they are doing on their own show what they don't want the government to do to them.
Exactly.
And,
they're doing an injustice.
Yes.
The listeners, because they're posing as a legitimate radio show that is bringing the truth, when, in fact, they're following the guidelines that have been handed down to them. Otherwise, they lose their job.
Yeah. And you're
like doing your show, Kevin, because you pull no BS on people, man. You put it as it is, and you allow me to present it as it is. I mean, that's why I love your show.
Well, I appreciate it. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back with more freedom of speech right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest Jose Escamilla for about 10 more minutes of freedom of speech. You know, on the website at about the midpoint of the month, I put up the survival meter and show you the progress we're making financially for the month, and that will be showing up after tonight's show. And then as we get down close to the end of the month, it'll say 7 days left, then 6 days left, 5 days left. We may need to put something like that up for freedom of speech, if we could nail down how many days left we have, because we may not have very many more. These things that Sunstein has suggested, Jose, are the very tactics that are being used in Iran to silence the opposition.
Absolutely.
And it is wholly un-American.
The scary thing is that these are people that are elected by our president and his cabinet to rule us, to tell us what is what. And that I'm an American. I was born in America. Okay? I am a true United States citizen. And you know what? I am not going to adhere to their BS ruling, man. Come on. This guy needs to be taken to task. And, you know, he's a treasonous whatever.
Yeah.
for him to get rid of our free speech, that's what he's practicing. That's what he's doing. And if Obama's going to do this and allow this snapperhead to take over, and just on the guise of getting rid of conspiracy theorists, people have to realize, if they do it one way, that means all the way. That means you can't go down the street and say, well, you know, President Obama shouldn't have done this because I think he should have done this. Then you're a conspiracy theorist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of your freedom of speech, you're done, you know? Guys like Kevin and I are presenting facts, all right? And they're calling conspiracy theories. We don't do theoretical stuff. We're conspiracy investigators. We present the facts as they are. You know, but if you let them get away with this, JQ Public, then we're all screwed.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say.
That's true. All right, Jose, when do you suspect you'll be able to release the IMAX film?
I am looking at right now, I have some people that are looking to fund it, and I have, I'm selling movie credits, as I always do to my films. Every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to contribute and sponsor, and I will give your name, I'll put your name as special thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $100. $100 is a lot of money right now, but also $100 could help me get this movie done, all right? I'm looking for sponsors that will sponsor, you know, the making of this film. No one else in the world is going to do a movie about the moon in full color. Believe me, NASA's not going to do it. Otherwise, they would have done it a long time ago. They want to keep you stupid.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm at least doing a movie that presents it in a scientific manner, and I've avoided all the loopholes that keeps me from my film not getting distributed. All I need now is cash, man. You know, I'm not raising millions of dollars either. I'm only raising $350,000, which is nothing for the making of an IMAX film.
In the movie industry, and I checked on this, I was doing some research for a program that I did early last year, and I checked on budgets for or how to finance independent films, and what they say is that anything under $1 million doesn't get serious consideration.
Yeah.
And you know, by the big boys that finance these big independent films, they're independent but they're big, and you know, they have a pretty good substantial budget. They don't even consider anything unless it's $1 million or more. So when you're looking for $350,000, you're not looking for a lot of money in the film industry.
The only reason, Kevin, that I'm asking for that minimal amount, those are called finishing funds. I already finished the movie on my computer. Okay, I have a $20,000 computer system where I made this IMAX movie. Done. It's in the can. All I need to do is go to New Mexico, pay Wes Studi his salary, and film him on camera. And then I'm going to film Golden Eagle, who is the head of the Lakota tribe, doing a moon ritual. Film him in 3D. Come back home and integrate the new footage, and the film is in the can. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, this film would cost about $5 million to make.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to hire a director, a writer, and all that stuff. I do it all. I've already done it. Movie's in the can. All I need is a little money to produce it and finish it. I mean, I have to do an answer print. What's called an answer print. It's going to cost $75,000. I have to turn it into 3D, which is a company in Simi Valley, and that's going to cost about $65,000. So, you know, it's all finishing costs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making a penny on this. I'm just finishing the movie, and right now it's in front of IMAX, and they're looking at it, and they're very interested in releasing it. So, people out there, man, if you guys want to help out and be part of this IMAX movie, now's the time, because there's no one in the planet that's going to do this other than me. Cannot depend on NASA, Ron Howard, or any of these guys to do a movie in the full color of the moon. They're not going to do it. They're part of the clique. All right? I'm the guy that can deliver a film shows it all the way it should, you know, should have been done 40 years ago.
Well, and
anyway,
and
that's my rant.
One of the things that really backs up what you're saying is that people can go see Luna. They can go online and see it.
Yeah.
It's pay-per-view, and that'll give you folks some idea of what you are going to see in 3D IMAX. And I mean, it's not 3D, but you'll get to see some of the things that you when you see them, you'll say, man, if I could see that in 3D, that would be phenomenal.
Absolutely. And I have the company that will make that a reality, man. And you know what, Kevin, when people see this on the IMAX screen wearing these 3D glasses, man, you're going to be blown out of the water.
Well, I believe it. Luna blew me out of the water. You know, as soon as you had finished Luna, you sent me a link where I could go online and watch it. And that was before you had released it in pay-per-view. It's just a few days before. I went and watched it, and it was super. I was blown away by it. It's just phenomenal, the things that you see in Luna. Now, if I could just see Luna in IMAX 3D, that would blow me away.
Oh, man, you ain't seen nothing yet, Kevin. And this is what I'm saying. A lot of people out there, your listening audience, don't have a clue as to what we're talking about, unless you've seen Luna. But it doesn't matter. When I do, and I'm not saying if, I say when I do the IMAX film, which is already finished, like I said, all I need to do is now film Wes Studi, who was in Dances with Wolves, Last of the Mohicans, Geronimo, Avatar, and all that. Once I filmed him in 3D and I put it in the can and I released this film and it gets shown on the IMAX screens worldwide,
mm-hmm.
believe it to the maximum, when you see what is really on the moon in 3D, people are going to walk out of those theaters practically, all right, in shock. You're going to see what the moon is. It's like traveling to a part of Earth that's never been presented before,
mm-hmm.
in full color, and all of a sudden you see, oh my gosh, there are things here on Earth that I've never seen. Wow, what is that? What is this? Whoa, what is that? You know,
mm-hmm.
when you see the planet Moon, I guarantee anyone that comes out of there not shocked and not bewildered and not surprised, then they must have been totally colorblind, because...
Jose, we have to go. It's the end of the show. Thanks for being with me. Stay on the line with me for a moment, if you will. All right, that's it, folks. That's a wrap for this week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, if we're still in business. So long, everyone.